Ghost Playground.
Hooray! They keep the crowd entertained during timeouts, halftimes, intermissions, and broadcast commercial breaks. They cheer you up when the team isn't doing well. They celebrate with you when the team is killing it. They work their butts off to keep you entertained. They are the dancers and cheerleaders of professional sports teams. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. Today, I talk to a WNBA dancer, and she tells us what it's like to be an important member of a sports organization and how she got there.
Hi, my name is Kat, and I am a WNBA dancer.
Now, you're not just a dancer for the WNBA. You're all kinds of dancer.
Yes, I'm trained in quite a few different styles. That's what I'm doing primarily at the moment. But yes, I do a little bit of everything.
And you own a dance studio? You're like a teacher?
I do teach and choreograph. I teach kind of on the side, just kind of renting a space, doing ballroom lessons and wedding dance lessons and things like that. So,
okay, awesome. Well, first tell us who you're a WNBA dancer for.
So I dance for the Connecticut Sun.
The Connecticut Sun. And are yes. We not supposed to say cheerleader anymore? Is it dancer now all around?
So it kind of depends on the organization. So for the most part, the NFL has cheerleaders. Some teams have dancers, like I actually have a friend that just made the command force for the Washington Commanders. So they're more dancers. But then for the NBA and WNBA, it's usually more dancers. So okay. it kind of depends.
I had no idea. It's not offensive, though, to call you a cheerleader.
No, okay. Not at all.
Because you are kind of getting the crowd riled up, yes?
Oh, yes. And we have palms and all of that, so definitely not.
Oh, okay. So it does sound like a lot like cheerleading then. So I might say that by accident on occasion. You, as a dance teacher, I saw that you teach some fun classes like burlesque dancing and K-pop dancing.
Yes, I've done quite a few things over the years. There was kind of this, you know, surge of K-pop popularity when I was back in Salt Lake, especially, and there was a big demand for that. So held a class, which was really, really fun. We learned a whole routine from a music video with a great group of people, and that was really fun. And yeah, I just try to keep it fun and interesting and offer some different styles, especially for adults. There aren't as many opportunities for adults to dance. So I try to just, yeah, keep some variety.
What's the kind of dance that people like to do the most? What is the thing that they most want to learn?
Ooh, that's tough. I do think the heel burlesque classes often are pretty popular just because they're a really great way to kind of help you crack out of your shell a little bit in kind of a safe space. You know, I try to make it a safe space for, you know, either dancers or non-dancers. So those tend to be popular.
I'm sure that they do. I know a lot of people mm-hmm. who like to do that. mm-hmm. Now dancing for the Suns, is this a full-time job for you?
It is not.
It is a part-time gig. So what do you do during mm-hmm. the day? Just dance lessons? Or do you have like a boring day job?
I have a big kid job.
What are your other pants? What do you wear during the day?
Some of my friends and I call it a muggle job as performers. So I work as an accountant. I do some bookkeeping for a healthcare staffing company. So I'm a math nerd by day.
So you're good at math and you're an awesome dancer and you're beautiful. That's, you've got all of the things. There, I'm a little jealous. Let's talk about dancing for them. Like, do the other dancers also have day jobs too? Is this, no one does this full time?
No. And you'll see that same with NBA and NFL, they're always a part-time job.
So. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. When did you get the Connecticut Sun's gig to dance for them? It's only been a few months now.
Right. So this is my first year dancing for them. I believe auditions were back in April. And then we pretty much just kind of hit the ground running. The season started end of May. So it's been a busy few months. But
what mm-hmm. were auditions like? Like, what was the process of auditioning to be a dancer for the Connecticut Suns?
So for this team, and this has kind of been the norm for both NFL, NBA, is usually it's a video submission first. So we submitted a video, just 1 minute of, you know, freestyle or just kind of whatever is our style of dancing. And then there was an interview portion, just doing a Zoom interview with some of the directors. And then there was the final audition where we learned some choreography, did kind of a solo session and learned, you know, they just wanted to see us dance and just kind of get to know us as people. And then they picked the team. So
when you're in there in that room, were you with the other dancers? Could you see them dancing and everything too?
Yes, we were all together the whole time.
Dancing together. Was it competitive? And were you concerned that you weren't going to make it?
No, it actually was a really great experience. I already met a lot of great people at the audition. So it was a very friendly, very welcoming environment. I've definitely been to auditions that are a little competitive and everyone's kind of a little quiet and short with you, but everyone was really great. It was a really great vibe in the room. So I met one of my really good friends that is now my teammate at the audition. So,
oh, okay. So you're making friends already. And do something like this, are there like weight requirements and like what are physical requirements for you?
No, they really just dancing. Yeah. Yeah.
Now that you're on the team, are there like public standards that you have to abide by that the team wants to make sure you're not doing, you know, crazy stuff in public, or the WNBA?
A little bit. Yeah. There's definitely, you know, a couple things that they want you to, you know, to just keep in mind, you know, nothing crazy as far as anything too restrictive. Just, you know, I think pretty standard, reasonable things of, you know, just watch what you post online, kind of, you know, watch how you behave when you're in uniform and representing the organization, and little things like that. But, you know, they also try to pick members of the team who are already come in as professionals. So I feel like it's not really a reach to just say, hey, you know, just make sure you follow XYZ. And it's pretty standard
on Facebook or anything like that.
Right. Yep.
Gotcha. Why did you decide to try out for the Connecticut Suns? What made you want to do it? Was it something you've always wanted to do?
Yes. So I, for the past 3 years, was actually in the audition process for the Patriots cheerleaders.
Oh,
that was kind of the goal once I moved back to Massachusetts. It had kind of always been on my radar and it just kind of made sense at the time and seemed like a really great next step in my dance career. So I auditioned. The first year I auditioned was actually 2020, and I made the finals for that. And then it kind of got put on pause with, you know, COVID.
Yeah.
And then they ended up actually not taking any new members of the team that year, which was a little disappointing, but you know, that's COVID for you. And then ended up auditioning again in 2021 and 2022. I actually made it all the way to the end to their boot camp. It's a pretty long process for the Patriots. And then ended up not getting selected for the team, which is, you know, a bummer, but you know, it just wasn't meant to be.
Right.
But I really love that style, kind of that pro style and being able to, you know, dance for a crowd and cheer on a team. So that had always been on my radar. And then this year I, you know, decided that the Patriots chapter was closed. And then I saw that one of a choreographer that I really admire that I've worked with before, who she actually travels all around choreographing for NBA and NFL teams and collegiate teams, Michelle Vaughn Bailey. She was appointed the director of the Connecticut Sun dance team. They were kind of revamping it with this program called Pro Action Dance, who's really involved with a lot of pro dance teams. So they wanted to just kind of, you know, take the existing team to the next level, you know, bring on Michelle, bring in Pro Action. And when I saw that on Instagram, I was like, well, this just makes sense because, you know, I have this incredible choreographer, incredible, you know, organization, and It just seemed like a good fit, and it was. So,
and you made it and they liked you.
Yeah.
Are there any other professional sports teams that you tried out for to be dancers for besides these two teams?
I did a very spontaneous audition out in Vegas for the Raiderettes last year,
okay.
which obviously didn't work out, which is fine. It was still a great experience, but no, that's been it so far.
How does the audition process differ between the Raiderettes and the Patriots?
Raiderettes is a little bit more condensed, and I found that a lot of the teams have kind of shifted their audition process because of COVID, some things that they've, you know, kind of adapted and kept as far as like video submissions and things like that.
Right.
So the Raiderettes process might have changed a little bit, but for Raiderettes, it was just an open call, you know, anybody and everybody's welcome to come in, learn choreography and, you know, perform in front of the judges. And then I think the whole process is about a week. So if you make it past there, you do some interviews, you learn more choreography and, you know, do photo shoots and things like that. And then there's a final audition where they select the team. So that's all within about a week. And then Patriots is a little bit longer of a process. So you submit a video. And then if you make it past that round, they send you choreography to learn for the semifinals. You have a certain amount of time to learn that, record yourself doing it, send that back. And then if you make it to finals is then in person at the stadium where they send you another routine to learn. So you're doing two routines and then a solo. And you also do an interview question just to, you know, see how you carry yourself and how well-spoken you are. And then if you make it past finals, then you go to boot camp, which is a 2 to 3 week process, depending on the year. And that's where you're just kind of simulating what it's like to be on the team. So you're learning more choreography. I think both years that I did boot camp, we learned 6 routines total, and then doing more interviews, you know, team bonding activities, you know, fitness, things like that. So it's really, they really, really put you through the ringer, but it's also a ton of fun. And then at the end of that, they post the team online and you see if you're on the list or not.
Fingers crossed. It's such a long mm-hmm. process, and it takes up so much of your time, and you can't work during that time. You must want to give a lot because you're not being monetarily compensated during these periods of time when you're trying out. Is that, mm-hmm. that frustrating?
It's definitely a balance. It's a very strenuous couple of months because you obviously want to give it your all, but you know, right. you still gotta go to work during the day. So you just find time. You know, when you really care about something, you find the time and you figure it out.
I love it. Mm-hmm. And then there must have been just a ton of people at that open call in Las Vegas.
Oh, yes.
Full of people. Did you have to wait forever?
I think I was actually one of the first groups to dance. But afterwards, waiting for the judges to deliberate was, I mean, that's always long. It could be 5 minutes and it still feels like hours. But yeah, it was definitely a long day. But
well, how did it feel when you finally made it and they contacted you and told you that you were going to be a dancer for the Connecticut Suns?
Oh, I was so excited. I had a really good vibe about the team from the beginning. And so just getting that email saying, congratulations, you made it was just, it was awesome.
And they told you via email, you had to wait for an email.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was the waiting period between when you finished auditioning and how long did you have to wait before you found out?
It wasn't too long. I think it was about 2 days.
Oh, that's not too bad. Well, they just got it quickly on ya. Have you got to see yourself on TV yet?
No. No, I don't.
I didn't just see yourself on TV.
I don't know how much they show us. I don't think I've seen a game that I've been on yet. Because obviously, you know, the focus is on the game. I think the dancers are more for, you know, in the in-arena experience, you know, right. I think you might see little flashes of us here and there, which is, you know, which is to be expected because there's so many logistics that go on during the game, both in the arena and then what you see at home on TV as far as timeouts and commercial breaks and things like that. So yeah, you might see a little flash and wave of a pom-pom, but yeah, it's not a ton of screen time.
I know they show you on the big screen while you're in the stadium there or in the arena. Yes. And you can see that. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it's.
And when the team is winning, what's the vibe like in there?
Oh, it's so exciting. I'm surprised how I knew it was going to be exciting, but I didn't realize how into it I would be and how amped up I would get when the team does well, or even if we're not doing well. And we're really just trying to, like, you know, make that comeback and get the score back. We're just the vibe is just incredible. And the energy is just so amazing. It's really, really fun.
And you're dancing for a winning team. They're doing well this year. Yes.
Yes. Yep. Number one in the East.
They're kicking some butt. Now, if the team is not doing very well and the audience is upset, do they ever like turn on you guys, the dancers?
No. No,
that's good.
Yeah, that's
well, and also
very good.
They've been doing pretty well, so maybe you just don't know the answer to that yet. Do you have since you started doing this? Have you started acquiring crazy fans like weird stalkers or just anybody who likes you a little too much?
Not necessarily. I feel like the Sun fans are all really, really great. Everybody's just there to watch a good game and have a great time. We have a lot of season pass holders that we see. You know, we see every single game. We're starting to see some familiar faces already. And
nice.
Yeah, it's just been really fun. Everybody just wants to have a good time and see the team win. So
now, if you were to dance or cheer in the NBA as opposed to the WNBA, would you make more money? Are they compensated more in the NBA than the WNBA, like the players?
I believe so. I mean, every team's a little bit different and it's the same, you know, it's the same with the NFL. It just depends on, you know, the contracts that you have. And, you know, with the NBA, the organization has been around longer. They have a bigger budget, you know, if we're just being honest. But I mean, if you ask anybody, you know, whether they're dancing for the NFL, NBA, WNBA, we love doing it. You know, the paycheck is just a bonus. So I'm just there to dance.
I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. Today, I'm talking to Kat, a WNBA dancer.
What sort of like diet and exercise regime do you have to keep up in order to do this? I mean, you're dancing all the time besides this, so I'm sure dancing is part of it. But are there like specific workouts and stuff that you have to do? And do you like do it together with the rest of the dancers?
Not necessarily. I mean, I feel like for me, I'm kind of always dancing. So there's not really anything that I change too much when I'm auditioning versus not, or, you know, game day, I might just make sure that I'm just paying a little bit more attention to making sure that I do drink enough water, that I am, you know, getting a few extra carbs or like pack an extra snack and just kind of staying mindful of those things. But I feel like nothing really in particular. And then as far as workouts, I mean, I'm kind of a gym rat anyway. I tend to be practicing choreography more, so I'm, you know, naturally doing more cardio, but I feel like for the most part, it's pretty much the same.
You're working out all the time.
Yeah. I feel like if anything, you know, busy weeks and game days and things like that, it's just being more mindful of making sure that you are properly fueling your body as opposed to depriving, because that's how you pass out in the middle of a game, and we don't want that.
No, so. Absolutely not. Has anything like that ever happened before? Has anybody gotten injured while they were dancing or performing while the team was playing?
We've had a few little, you know, tweak an ankle and things like that. Luckily, nothing too serious, but I mean, it kind of comes with, you know, kind of comes with any sport. So a few things, but luckily nothing that's, you know, that's taken anybody out for a prolonged period of time. So
you guys, there's a lot of jumping up and tossing around and stuff that happens when you guys are doing this, right? It could be dangerous.
I mean, we're not really doing any stunts or anything like that. It's really mostly just, you know, doing choreography and things like that, and then just kind of going out, pumping up the crowd and all of that. But I mean, sometimes you know, especially during routines, that adrenaline can definitely get the best of you sometimes. So there's always that risk. But yeah, it's mostly just kind of the adrenaline and the energy output, because we're doing our routines. We'll do like our hot timeouts and things like that and player intros. But then especially towards the fourth quarter, that's when it gets really pretty crazy, where, you know, there's lots of timeouts happening. We're, you know, heading out, going back and forth all the time. Sometimes we'll have signs, sometimes we'll have palms, sometimes we'll be, you know, doing things with the DJ where you're just kind of exerting a lot of energy. So dancing aside, it's really just, you're just kind of giving it your all, just giving a major output of energy. So
now, you said you became good friends with one of the other dancers. Do you guys all, like, when the game's over, do you guys all go out together and stuff? Are there after parties?
Sometimes. I mean, we definitely all get along. It's a pretty tight-knit group because there's only 12 of us on the team. So it's a pretty nice little group. And I feel like we always have fun at rehearsals. We have a group chat going. We've been trying to do some sort of team bonding. It's a little tricky because we're all pretty spread out. Some of us are in Massachusetts. I think one or two of us are in Rhode Island. A couple of us are in Connecticut. We actually have one girl in New York. So it's a little hard logistics wise. I know for me, especially after evening games, I usually hang out for a minute and then I'm on my way home because it's about a 2-hour commute for me. So,
oh, wow. You drive far to do this.
Yeah. So it's usually on a work night. It's usually either a Sunday or a Tuesday or Thursday night. So I have work the next day. So I'm trying not to get home at 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
It's gotta be tough. Do you get to mingle with the players?
Yes and no. I mean, we're in kind of the same tunnel for the locker room, so we'll pass by them, but they're also very nice, but they're very focused on what they're doing. So we don't really try to chat them up or anything because, you know, they're working, they have a job to do. So we're just, we're just kind of letting them stay in the zone. So
one of the players, a WNBA player, once said that the WNBA should have male dancers. How do you feel about that? And are there actually male cheerleaders and dancers out there on any of these teams?
Oh, absolutely. Not so much in the WNBA. There's only a few. I'm trying to remember which teams, but there are only a select few WNBA teams that have dancers. But as far as NFL and NBA, there's almost all of the teams now have male dancers and male cheerleaders. So it's pretty, okay. It's pretty standard now. So
interesting. All right. I didn't realize that there were that many male dancers out there doing this. I kind of love it. You said you were also a choreographer, a choreographer is how you say it, I guess. yes. Do you eventually want to choreograph your own dances for a sports team or maybe the Connecticut Suns? Do you want to move up and be like the leader of the dancers at some point? Is that your goal?
I haven't really thought about that yet. I'm kind of one of those people both with dance and choreography where I kind of want to do a little bit of everything. So, yeah. I mean, I definitely do love that style and, you know, the game day experience is really fun. Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be something fun to eventually choreograph for. I don't know if I'd, well, I don't ever want to say never, but I don't know. I haven't thought that far. I think as far as choreography, yes. If that ends up happening, as far as, you know, maybe directing a team, I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, now that we'll put the idea in your head, it's going to happen.
I know. I think I'm very much like, let's get through the season first. Right.
So the person who's choreographing everything now, you said her name earlier and I cannot remember what it is. What was it?
Michelle.
Michelle. Now, did she come up with everything that you guys are doing, or do you guys have any input into some of the stuff that you do to get the fans riled up?
So she's choreographed a lot of the routines that we use. The company Pro Action Dance that's actually producing the team is really awesome. They have tons of choreographers that collaborate with them, and they have basically a whole library of routines to choose from. So we had, you know, this massive library of, you know, awesome routines to pick for the season. And we kind of, you know, our director had the choice of, you know, whichever routine she wanted to pull. So naturally she pulled, you know, a few of her own. And then we have a few from a couple other choreographers. I'm trying to think how many, but it's a good handful. So it is nice to have that variety. I mean, I love her choreography and her teaching style, which is one of the things that obviously drew me to the team, but it is also nice to get a little bit from, and it's pretty common in a lot of teams to, you know, bring in a guest choreographer here and there just to kind of change it up a little bit. So yeah, I feel like we have a good variety of choreography styles where we have some routines that are a little bit more hip hop, some that have, you know, a little bit of kind of a Latin spice to them. We have some that are more like POM kind of traditional cheerleader routines and kind of a little bit of everything in between. So it's kind of nice to have that variety.
And do you do the same dances for every game, or are they different every game? I mean, and how many do you do per game?
So we have a rotation. We usually do two routines per game. And yeah, we have a decent amount. After this month, we'll have, I think, 14 routines kind of in the chamber. So we kind of just rotate depending on, you know, we have theme nights for different games. So sometimes we'll try to go along with the theme night or, you know, just trying to change it up because we do have a lot of repeat fans that come. So obviously we don't want to have them watching
the
same
routine.
That's
what I was going to say, if they're going
over and over and over.
Row, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's bound to happen a few times, but we try to keep a good variety just as far as different styles and things like that and just kind of changing it up, you know, matching the theme, stuff like that. So
is it difficult to memorize 14 different routines? It just comes
naturally,
doesn't it?
Yes and no. It's one of those things where I always say that it's like a muscle where, you know, the first couple of routines that we learned might have taken me a little bit longer. And then once you're kind of in the groove of that, it goes much faster. It's kind of like anything else where, you know, I'm trying to think of something else to compare it to, but if you're consistently working on the same thing, you know, week after week, day after day,
right,
it's just going to kind of get a little bit easier. So
I don't think I could do it. It amazes me that you can memorize all that. And then you also sing.
I do. Yes. I grew up doing musical theater, so I'm also a singer.
And so which do you like better, singing or dancing?
Dancing. I mean, I definitely still love singing, especially doing both at the same time. But I think dance is always going to take the number one spot.
And so I also, when I was internet stalking you, I found you on IMDb. What is the
That was a short film that I did 2012, I think.
Okay.
It was just this fun little horror movie that I did. I found an audition for, and just it was a very, very small part. And
you acted in it. No dancing, yes. No singing, acting.
Nope. Getting chased by a basement monster.
And did you get murdered in it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to watch it. Not because you got murdered, but because I do love horror. I'll find it. Where did you film that?
It was in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember where we filmed it. It was late at night. So, and God, 11 years ago now, but yeah, it was somewhere in South Shore, Massachusetts.
How fun. I would love to do that. And you do other stuff too. You're also a comedian and you have a podcast.
I've dipped my toe in comedy a little bit. I've been meaning to get back into it, you know, in all my free time. I eventually will. And then as far as podcasting, I did have a show while I was living back in Salt Lake called SLC Sit Down. And then we kind of had to taper that off when I went off on a dance tour. And that was kind of unfortunately, the end of it, which is okay. It ran its course.
Right.
And then I've done a little bit of podcasting with my husband here and there.
And how do we follow you? If someone wants to take dance lessons from you or just wants to follow you online and look for you and see if maybe they can see you on the TV or if they're going to be at the Connecticut Suns game and they want to cheer for you, how do they find you?
As far as social media, you can find me pretty much everywhere at Kat Umana Whitaker. And my teaching business is Bay State Ballroom, which is where I do, my ballroom lessons, teach wedding couples, things like that. So if you're in Massachusetts and you're getting married, I can do your wedding dance.
I will put links to all of those when I post this podcast. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today, Kat.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Kat has worked hard to fulfill one of her dreams, and it's inspiring. She tried out for two other teams and didn't make it, but that didn't stop her. If you've been knocked off your horse, be like Kat. Get back on and keep trying. Also, congratulations to the Connecticut Sun. They've got 15 wins and 6 losses, and they're killing it in the Eastern Conference of the WNBA. Thanks for joining me this week on Delightfully Different. If you or someone you know lives life differently, email me, lexiontheradio@gmail.com. That's LEXI on the radio at gmail.com. Or go to delightfullydifferentpodcast.com and have a delightful week.